As the drought continues to cause havoc with food prices, a new study by the Health Systems Research Unit of the South African Medical Research Council has found that the size of child grants are not aligned with the high levels of food insecurity and rising food prices, and it is the health of the children that is affected. The child support grant was introduced 18 years ago with the main aim to curb poverty and ensure children achieve their developmental milestones by receiving appropriate nutrition. Now, on the line, we welcome the SAMRC's principal investigator, Dr. Wanga Zembe. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, Dr. Wanga, what were the main reasons or objectives for the introduction of the child grant?
So the main, in the initial stages of establishing the grant, the land committee had very ambitious goals of actually ensuring that the grant would be used to meet the costs of raising a child. But it became clear, even as it was being discussed at the development stage, that this would be too ambitious and it would just not be physically possible for South Africa. So they ended up settling for the main objective of it meeting the nutritional needs of children. So it was meant to at least meet the nutritional needs.
Okay. Now, how does this grant compare to other social grants? Is it in line with other social grants?
You mean in terms of the value?
Yes.
No, it's not. It's in fact the smallest. So you have the old age pension grant, which is about 1,300, it's nearly 1,400 now.
Okay.
You have the foster care grant, which is about 870 rand a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the child support grant, which is 330 rand, this year it will be 340 rand a month. And so it's actually the smallest, but it's the biggest in terms of the coverage, in terms of the number of people that it covers.
Okay.
The budget that's assigned to it, it's the biggest in that sense, but not in terms of the value.
Right. Now, what did the research indicate? Is this close to addressing the basic needs of children, especially where children are already living in abject poverty?
No, it's not. It's not. And look, as I say, to be fair, it wasn't meant to address all the needs of a growing child, as I say.
Yes.
But at least it was meant to address the nutritional needs. So children who are getting the grant should not be starving, should not be having poor growth outcomes. They should not be stunted. They should not be underweight. So those needs, at least, it's supposed to meet their needs for food, but it's not able to do even that.
Hmm. Now, can you give us some of the other findings of the research?
So the main finding was that it's certainly not it's not adequate,
mm-hmm.
and that is supported by the fact that the levels of stunting, that is, the levels to which children who receive the grant compared to those who don't reach their height for age, were the same for children who are receiving the grant and who are not.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the biggest finding, that in terms of stunting, and stunting is used as a proxy to measure chronic poverty. So it's a way in which you can tell if a child is in a situation of chronic poverty, poverty that's just not ending. Or deep poverty, at least. And so so in terms of that, if the grant was at a level where children could use it to get enough food and to get enough nutrients from that food, then you shouldn't be seeing stunting. Children should be growing, and the height for age should be the same, should be appropriate. So that's not happening. But some of the other findings were that mothers of these children still go they go to extraordinary lengths to try and expand it and make it go further. So they will put some of it towards stock sales, which will give them more money to do other things. Because also,
yes,
the parents don't just use it to buy food for the children. They use it to buy school uniforms. They use it to pay for school transport. And in fact, one of the main findings was that a huge amount of it goes towards school-related needs. Caregivers prioritize school and school-related needs above anything else. They would rather this child actually starve than not go to school. And that comes from their parents' hope that if at least the child gets an education, they'll be able to get out of the poverty. So it's understandable that they prioritize school needs, but in fact, those school needs are a big cost factor on a grant this small. One of the main things we walked away with was just how much parents try so hard to give their children the best life possible and to make this little bit that they are getting, to make it go a long way. Unfortunately, you know, they can't, perform miracles, so the amount is simply too small, even in the presence of such great efforts to expand it. It's not able to go further. And of course, one of the other main findings was that in high HIV prevalent areas like KwaZulu-Natal, you see even higher rates of stunting there, you know, even though the grant is there. And that makes sense because, of course, HIV is going to further compromise the immune system of a growing baby. So those are just some of the findings that we had.
Now, Dr. Zembe, we know that, sadly, in many cases, this money is the only money available for a whole family to survive.
Yes.
Surely this means that the child is not fed, probably being clothed, sent to school, and the list continues on this, that the small amount has to sometimes feed a whole family.
Yes, and that's one of the main... I mean, just as I was saying that, caregivers don't just use it to even buy food for the children, but... Precisely what you're saying, they don't even use it they add it to the pool of money that exists for the household. And sometimes that pool consists of the child support grant. Maybe there's a grandmother in the home who's receiving the old age grant. And in fact, homes where there is such, where there's a grandmother who's receiving an old age pension, then that child will fare much better in that household because that's a big grant, it's 1,400. Often, though, it's introduced in a context where no one is employed and yet there are more adults than children and the adults are all unemployed. And so if you have two little kids getting the grant, that's 650 rand, which is then used to make groceries for the whole family. And as well as try and get school uniforms, pay for, you know, for school transport. It's introduced in a context where there are just overwhelming needs. And as I say, my sense as an investigator walking away was that parents actually really do the impossible with that little money.
Indeed. Now, finally, Dr. Zembe, is the short answer then to increase the grant in line with the increase in food prices? Is this going to become a reality or not?
I don't know if it will be a reality in terms of policy, but that's certainly one of the things that, as researchers and as policy advocates, push for. That's what we want to push for. But that increasing the amount is not the only solution. One of the grant, the reason why the policymakers who introduced the grant were comfortable with saying, we will only put it at a level where it will meet the basic nutritional needs of children. The reason why they were comfortable to say that was because they presumed, they assumed that there would be other things that other strategies, other poverty alleviation strategies that would be in place, like the schools, free schooling for poor children, free healthcare services, that there would be the school nutrition program, the feeding scheme. So there were other things that were meant to be in place that would augment and that would supplement the grant. But those other things in that basket of poverty alleviation strategies, those things are not well coordinated. They don't function well. The school nutrition program is now coming up and it's becoming a very key poverty alleviation strategy, but for a long time it wasn't. And it's still not working in all areas. So things like the school transport in the Eastern Cape, there was a time where government provided school transport for children, free transport, that is a school bus that would take them to school. And haphazardly, just out of the blue, it stopped. That service stopped, but it was providing a crucial service which was allowing parents to spare some a little bit of money or not have to worry about getting more money to pay for transport. So if there are other things, other strategies that can be developed, and even the ones that are already there, if they are strengthened, they are well coordinated, in addition to increasing the grant amount, and we know that there isn't, you know, there's a limit to how much it can be increased. You know, one can't be unrealistic and say, you know, give mothers 1,000 rand each for a child. That, you know, that's not realistic. But it can be increased at least by more than the 10 rand a year that it's currently being increased by. And then in addition to that, you can add other things, free school transport, free school uniforms, the current school nutrition program at school, free healthcare services, you know, access to, if a family is very poor, access to food for the whole family, some other poverty alleviation strategies for adults in the household, like the basic income grant. You know, other strategies that are going to ensure that when this money comes in, it's not the only money that's coming in to take care of a whole family, often of adults, but who are unemployed, who don't have other options. So a well-coordinated, holistic response is what's needed, more than just, you know, simply raising the amount.
Indeed, sad situation indeed. Dr. Wanga Zembe, thank you so much for, you know, availing yourself and talking to us about this worrying subject. But before we let you go, Dr. Zembe, today our interactive question, which we are asking all our listeners, you know, to interact with us on is, what did you want to be as a kid? Did you achieve the dream, or is that, or what you're doing now completely different to what you wanted to be as a kid?
Oh, no, one doesn't, can never say I've arrived, but I come from a small village in the Eastern Cape in Mount Frere. I grew up in much the context that I describe in my work and that I'm exposed to,
yes.
But I managed to get a very good education, a PhD from Oxford in England. I've had great opportunities, which I'm thankful to God for, and you know, doors have opened for me. I have worked hard myself, you know, I've also worked hard, but opportunities have also been available in the new South Africa and by the grace of God, and I'm very grateful for that. So I would say my career is, I am on my way to where I want to be, but I certainly haven't arrived, but I'm very grateful for where I am now.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Dr. Wanga Zembe, and indeed looking out for the less fortunate as well. And very interesting your story, and thank you so much for sharing, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right then. Bye-bye.
Bye.